Well, glory be to God. God is good. I always feel like my messages should come with a disclaimer because I am not politically correct. My mother cringes about 70% of the time because I overshare. But I feel like the only way that I can really, really get down and dirty with it is just to share from my own life. And hey, it's not like I can share from anybody else's life. Y'all get offended. So anyhow, I overshare about my own life because, see, God has done an awesome thing. He's done an awesome thing in my life. He's done an awesome thing in your life. Whether you can comprehend it or not, whether you can fathom it or not, God has done an awesome thing. Amen. Give Him praise this morning. I'm so thankful to be in His house. I'm thankful for who He is. I thank God that, you know, Dad said, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "No," because you know what? All I got to do is say what God wants to say, and what God wants to say is that He loves you this morning. What God wants to say to you this morning is it's time to rise out of fear, doubt, and depression. It's time to tell that infirmity to get off of your body in the name of Jesus. It's time to rise up. The Bible says that Jesus, He rose. And I'm going to tell you the message that God gave me this morning is that, hey, rise up. You can get out of that depression. You can get out of the strife. You can get out of the marital problem. You can get that infirmity off of your body. But you know what? You got to get it deep down in your soul that, hey, God's God. He's not just God on Easter. He's God all the time. He's God in the valley. He's God when everything's going good in your life. He's God when it looks like it's going to be the last time that it looks like it's all over. He's God there in that place. Amen. Glory. You're going to have a major crick in your neck by the time this is over because I'm everywhere. I'm all up in your business and that's just how it is. And God is so good. I'm so glad to be here. Let's go to Luke. We're going to be looking at verses chapter 22 and verses 31 through 32. And we've got the Last Supper, the Passover. I'm setting the scene for you. Here's all the disciples. They're with Jesus. He's fixing to be crucified, and He's having the Last Supper. And He says He's reclining. Now, I love that, Jody, because, hey, I like to recline at the dinner table, too. That way you can eat just a little bit more than you should if you're reclining. And so He was sitting there and He was reclining with His disciples and He began to talk to one of them. He began to talk to Simon. And He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Now I'm going to tell you something. The devil wants to come into your life and begin to sift you to the point you don't know who you are anymore. To the point you wake up and you don't know what's wrong with you, but you're depressed. To the point you don't know what's happened in your life, but you don't know yourself anymore. You don't know who you are. You're confused. And so you know what? He began to explain to Simon, "Simon, the devil has asked to begin to sift you." And see, that's how we are when in our lives, when everything seems like it's going wrong, when everything seems like it's not coming together. Now, does anybody have that experience or is it just me? Well, good. I'm in the room with a bunch of honest people, Brother Mike. Glory. And it says, "Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." Did you know that Jesus prayed for you? He prayed for you to the point at the end of it, He gave His life and He gave it up for you and He did it willingly. The Father said, "Jesus, I need you to do this because there's no other way. There's no other way to save my kids but this right here. Will you do it, son? Will you give up your life? Will you become the thing that you never were? The sin, the adultery, the fornication, the infirmities, all the things that we hate. He became them." It's not that, oh, He got crucified. Yeah, He did that too. But He literally became the sin of every single person that ever was, of every single person that would ever be, of every single person that's even sitting right here, right now in this place. So, hey, the devil likes to sift folks. That's what he does. And unless you can really get down with Jesus, it's going to overtake you. And you're going to get overwhelmed by just simple daily things and problems that go on. And it says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." See, now is not the time for faith to be failing in your life. It's time to stand up with your family. It's time to stand up with your children. It's time to stand up in your church. Man, suit up, show up, woman up, man up. Be the man of God that He's calling you to be. Lead your family. Be the woman that God's calling you to be. That's what time it is. Amen. I just lost my place. We're going to have to get back in Luke. I hope it's still where I left it. Luke in 22. Thank God for good parents. And it says that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, there's people, they're all over the place. There's some in here. There's some out there. There's some all over churches today. But there's people that there needs to be a turning back. Well, amen. I'm going to say it again. There's people that they need to have a turning back. They need to turn around and they need to say, this isn't who I am. I'm going to live in God. I'm going to be that woman I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be that man that I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stop making excuses for the things that I'm justifying that God says is wrong, that I know is wrong. Amen. It's time to rise up and it's time to turn back. See, God doesn't want you feeling like you feel, but hey, you got to turn around. You got to get yourself where you're headed in the right direction. Now, I'm not stepping on your toes. You either are or you're not. I don't know. All I'm doing is preaching what God said to preach this morning. So that makes my job very easily. And I'm trying not to pass out over it, Jody, because I am flat out of shape. And just merely preaching gets myself out of exercising for the day. Not that I was going to, but now I feel like I don't have to because I will walk around. I will be up in your face and we're just going to go back and forth. Why? Because I'm going to keep your attention. God wants to talk to you. There needs to be a turning around because after you turn back, God says, strengthen your brothers, Simon. See, it's not all about us. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about turning back to the place we know where we should be. And it's about strengthening every single person that God puts in your path. It's about being the man and woman of God that you know darn well that you should be. It's about being that on a day that it's not even Sunday. Everybody can play or attend on Sunday. You guys are so agreeable, it's scary. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. We're going to skip down a little bit. We're going to go to verses 39. And it says, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And then he withdrew about a stone's throw between them, and he knelt and he prayed. And he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. See, don't feel bad when you get up in the middle of a problem and you start feeling like, God, if you can get this up out of me, I would love it. Jesus did that. He said, if you can take this cup and if you can make it pass, God, please do. But nevertheless, your will be done. Many people do not want truly God's will because it's going to take you doing things that are uncomfortable. It's going to take you doing things that you don't want to do. It's going to take your absolute obedience and your sacrifice, because you know what? That's not asking too much, because God gave a son and he was willing to do it. And he says here, God, if you're willing, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and he strengthened him. See, God knows where you're at today. God knows if you're miserable. God knows if you're in the middle of a financial struggle. God knows if you're sick. God knows if you're sad. God knows if He knows every single thing that's going on. And so, hey, all we got to do is that, God, I need you to come down and strengthen me right now. Because see, God, the pure essence of God, it is strength. It is love. It is healing. Because after all, His Son became those things so we could walk in His glory. So you didn't have to be brokenhearted all the time. So you didn't have to cry when you go to bed at night. See, some people, they cry at night and they don't even know why. Sometimes you wake up and you're in a bad mood and you're angry and you don't even know why. See, God never designed that for His children. God said, I want you to have life, and I want you to have it in abundance. And yet we go around and we're upset all the time. We're angry all the time. We're bitter. We're irritated. Now y'all's looking at me like I got three heads. Now I know some of y'all get some irritation flowing. I do. You can ask my in-laws. They've been with me for 3 days. They're probably past irritated at some point. I'm glad they made the trip down to Arkansas. They have helped with me, my two blessings. Praise the Lord. That gets me feeling the Spirit more than anything. And it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And guess what began to happen? And being in anguish, he began to pray more earnestly. See, sometimes when you hit a wall and you're not getting that breakthrough, it's not because it's not going to happen. Hey, if God told you it'll happen, you can take that to the bank. But sometimes you got to be strengthened, and sometimes you got to know that, you know what? God, no matter what, I'm going to praise you. God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God, I'm going to praise you not because everything's going right in my life, but because you're God on my worst day. God, you're God on any day. Amen. But it says here, and he began to pray more earnestly. Sometimes it's a matter of getting that heart in line where God says, Kelly, pray more earnestly. Kelly, stop judging people. Get down on your knees. Begin to seek me. I want to heal that person. I want to save that person. I want to deliver that person. You pray more earnestly. You know what? Some of us are lazy prayers. We want to throw a prayer up to God. And we're just like, did you get it? Okay. I'm good. I'm good for the day. No. No, you're not. I get in my bathroom, Peggy, and I shut them doors, and I get that toilet bowl cleaner out. Now, I know you can get in the spirit any which way, but this is how I do it. I get that toilet bowl cleaner out, and I just go to town. And I just say, God, help me. God, deliver me. God, help me to act right. God, help me not to gripe at Jeremy. God, help me not to get out of line. Because you know what? However you can feel God, wherever you can feel Him, you need to get to a point where your prayers are effectual, where they're effective. The prayers of a righteous man, they availeth much. But you know what? You got to be righteous. You got to know that God's with you. You got to pray, and you got to pray more earnestly, because some things in life, trials and tribulations, they just come. They come on the just. They come on the unjust. They just come. But God is God. Amen. And he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And you know, sometimes we like to have a pity party for ourselves. Sometimes we like to act like we're the only ones that's having a problem. You're not. The devil wants you to feel like that. He wants you to feel that loneliness so you won't even leave your house, so you won't come to church, so you'll get yourself in a backslidden state. Yeah, I said it. A backslidden state. See, the moment that I start being fearful of what God really wants to say, God don't need ministers like that. He needs people to stand up and say, right is right, wrong is wrong. Let's go. Are you a part of the right or are you a part of the wrong? See, it's a decision. It's a thing where we say, God, teach me how to pray more earnestly. Teach me how to stand in the gap for that family member that's driving me crazy, that they've done the same thing 1,700 times. See, we all got one. Nobody amen that. You're probably sitting by him, aren't you? I'm going to stop that meddling. That's how you get in trouble. That's how you get the pastor to have hate mail 3 weeks after Easter. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 44. And I'm just outlining for you what Jesus did for you and why we're here today. See, it's not about the Easter bunny. Although that's great. He makes good pictures. He makes it look cute. Your kids can look forward to it. But it's not about that. 44, and it says, it was now about the sixth hour, and the darkness came over the whole world and land until... you can get yourself plumb messed up with this reading business. Let me start all over. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now I'm going to tell you something. In the world that we're living in today, people have commitment problems. Oh my gosh, I got some amens. I'm going to say it one more time. Where we live in today, people got commitment problems. You don't want to commit to what number you want at McDonald's. You don't want to commit to your husband or your wife. You don't want to commit to which doctor you're going to see. You don't even want to commit to which show you're going to see. You're double-minded. Now, I'm not saying you're double-minded. I'm saying we all are. It's all of us. Okay? Even Jesus Christ Himself said, God, right now, Father, right now, I commit myself. I lay it down. I asked you to take the cup from me. You didn't. I was born to do this. I commit myself to it. People don't want to commit, but they want to ask God, why has my life turned out in a way that I never thought? Why am I depressed about where I'm at in my life? I didn't ever think this was going to be my life. See, you haven't committed. You got to have a full commitment. Lots of us think, if I give Him a little, He'll be happy. No, He wants your whole life. See, He wants it all. He wants your affection. He wants your love. He wants your commitment. He wants you to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to love my enemy. He wants you to get on the phone and begin to bless people with your words. See, we get on this social media. We like to tear each other up. We like to tear each other a new one. And guess what? Then we feel embarrassed when we actually see them face to face. The things you will say when you don't have to look at them. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Now, I've really gone off to meddling, Miss Lori. But hey, it's true. It's true. Truth's going to be preached here today. And it says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when He said this, He breathed His last breath. See, one of these days, you're going to breathe your last breath. You either committed your life to Him or you didn't. You either womaned up, manned up. See, people don't like when I say woman up. I don't care what they like. People don't like truth. Sometimes you got to stand up and you got to say, I want to do the wrong thing. And I'm going to make myself not do it. I want to gripe my enemy out. I want to do things to my enemy. I'm not even going to mention because we in church. But I'm going to keep it real. See, there should be a restraint where you're just letting yourself fly willy-nilly with things. That restraintment's called the Holy Spirit. He's going to keep you in line. But it doesn't come without your commitment. Amen. Well, I got to get up here and figure out where we're at. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to look here at verses 1 through 6. And it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. See, Jesus had already been crucified. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? See, you don't serve a God that's dead. You don't serve a God that has a short arm and that's not compassionate. We serve a God that He cares about where you're at. He cares so much that He's not let the enemy get you. He's rebuked the snare of the fowler. He said, no, that's my kid. You'll not touch him. They're out of line right now. They're not doing what they're supposed to do right now. But I see a time where they're going to come to me and, hey, only the Father can draw. See, we wear ourselves out trying to get our loved ones to do what they need to do. We get worried. We get ulcers. We get angry. We get bitter. Then we lash out and we say things to them that we shouldn't say. We judge where we should love. See, only the Father's going to draw them here. And when He does, the pit of hell could not keep them from it. See, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, they labor in vain. What are you building today? See, who are you spending all your time with? See, I'm not saying don't witness. I'm saying God will pinpoint the people out to you. He'll show you who's right. He'll show you where to go. And you know what? Pray that the Lord would send laborers for the harvest. Pray that God would send the right person to that family member that you want more than anything to be saved, that you want more than anything to be delivered, that you want more than anything not to split hell wide open. We got to learn how to pray, and we got to learn how to pray more earnestly. You got to stop saying, now I'm going to pray up until my favorite show comes on, and then that's it. And if that prayer didn't reach Jesus, that's fine, because I'm going to watch Survivor. I'm going to watch The Bachelor. I'm going to watch The Bachelorette. I'm not going to tell you what I watch. I'm kidding. Y'all stop being so judgmental. I'm really not telling you what I watch. No, I'm just kidding. Don't even ask. My mother doesn't want me oversharing today. Today is Easter, and I'm going to keep it in between the lines. Glory to God, the things you do for your family. And it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. God told me about 2 or 3 months ago, Kelly, when you preach at Easter, you tell my kids that the same things that were talked about in the Bible, the same things that they know happened, you tell them greater things they can do because I went to the Father for them, because I was crucified for them. Now, we just read where it says that He rose. I'm going to tell each and every one of you, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to be backwards. I'm not going to worry about offending you, because you know what? I'm here to preach the Word of God. And you know what? God rose. Jesus rose. It's time to rise up out of the filth that we're in. It's time to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's time to get ourselves where we pray, and we pray earnestly. We move mountains because God said it could be done. He said, "You, the things that you saw Jesus do, you'll do them greater. Because, hey, He came to me." That's how you can do it. And you know what? It's time to rise out of the things that we're in. It's time to rise out of sickness. It's time to rise out of that depression right now in Jesus' name. It's time to rise up out of things. Man, people, they get offended. They get in a backslidden state. I'm going to get to meddling. I'm going to dive into the meddling jar. Because, hey, what else am I going to do for the next 20 minutes? It's free game. But hey, God wants you to rise up. God wants you to be everything that He knew you could be, that He predestined you to be, that He set you aside and said, this one's for this, this one's for that. There's people only you can minister to. There's people that, you know what, their blood will be on your hands if we don't get it right. Now, I'm not guilt tripping you. This is real. This is truth. People don't like truth. Why? Because truth requires change. Every single time. You get to wanting God's perfect will, you better watch out, because it's going to require you to get down and dirty with yourself. You want to be where God wants you to be? Look out. It's probably going to be somewhere you don't want to be. I don't want to be nice to my enemies. I don't want to bless those who curse me. There's things I don't want to do. But there's things that I know that are an absolute requirement of Jesus Christ if I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, if I'm going to make it to heaven, if I'm going to make sure that the people that God says, Kelly, only you can help, that's it. That's the only way. It said that He rose, and we need to rise up. We need to get out of some things. We need to get out of some thought behaviors. See, this stuff that we talk ourselves into doing, it's in your head. You'll meditate on that. You'll think about it. See, the sin that we commit, it's birthed right up in here. Before you ever do it, you've thought about it. Before you ever did it, you rehearsed it. Now, isn't that funny how when you think you're going to see somebody you don't like, you'll start having an argument with them in your head and you ain't even seen them. Jeremy, sweetie, I am so glad you admitted to that. Because I didn't want to be the only person in the room, but I do that. I will have a full-fledged argument before 8 o'clock a.m. with somebody I ain't even seen in months. Why? Because I'm twisted. I don't know why. But it ain't what God wants. I got to rise up out of it. See, I can sit here and I can look at you today and I can tell it like it is because I'm trying to live it like it is. People got to be very honest with theirself. Because unless you are, they that labor, they labor in vain. You can do all this stuff. But unless you're doing what God wants you can do good stuff. We got to know what God wants us to do. We got to know what is God calling me to rise up out of. It's like, where did I leave that Bible? Here it is. And it says that he rose. Now let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 12 through 15. And we're going to look at this in the King James Version. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. A lot of people like to discredit themselves. A lot of people like to take themselves out of the game because they think they can't do something. A lot of people said, no, I've made too many mistakes. I can't do that. But see, what does God's word says? It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, these things, you're going to do them too, but you'll do them greater. You'll do them in a bigger stance. Why? Because somebody paid the price. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. See, what are you asking for? There's so many people that they only seek God when it's going bad. There's so many people that only seek God when it's going bad. Amen. See, God don't work like that. God works in spirit and in truth. He wants people to get it real right up in here. Whenever there's a heart change, there's a game change. You want things to turn around? You get that self. You look at yourself in the mirror and you stop asking it to get in line. You know, now I'm trying to be cute. You know that song with Michael Jackson? I'm looking in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. I am not a singer. Y'all get the point. Stop asking for yourself to get it right. Start telling yourself, self, I'm going to get it right. Self, I'm going to behave. Self, I'm not going to cuss that person out today. Yeah, I just said cuss in church. Why? Because people do that. We will keep it real. Because I don't like to have church unless it's just brutally honest. Amen. See, we don't like to say what we do because we like for people to think that we got it all together. We like to for people to look at us and envy us. We like to look like, whew, I got it going on. You'd help people more if you just kept it real. Amen. And it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. We ask for things. We ask God to do things. We get frustrated with God when he doesn't do things. If God gave me everything I asked for, I'd have twins, actually. That's not God's will for me. Twins are wonderful, but man, I couldn't do it. See, if God gave you everything that you asked for, see, that's why it says his ways, they're higher. His thoughts, they're higher. Because sometimes you don't even know what your heart wants. Because, hey, the heart is deceitful. And above all else, who can really know it? And that's why we need to pray more earnestly. God, show me what's in this thing of mine. Because it's messing me up. Because it's making me backslide. Because it's making me be offended. Because it's making me say the wrong thing. Because it's making me act out. Because it's making me do the wrong things. Because it's making me make a bad decision. See, you get hasty and you make bad decisions. You get hasty and you get irritable and you lash out. Lashing out equals more time being miserable. It's like when you get in a good knockdown marital argument. And y'all don't act like you've never had one. Because we will stop the service and we will cast the lying devil out of everybody. When you get yourself into a good marital argument and you lash out, at some point, most of the time, I get to laying in bed at night and I decided to buy a house that has a flight of stairs, 14 of them coming up, 14 of them coming down. And I know that because I fell down them about 3 times. I know it because I count them every time I go down them and I say, why did I do this to myself? There have been times where I've gotten into it with good old Jeremy and I've laid in bed at night and God has said, Kelly, I'm not pleased. Kelly, why did you say that to your husband? Kelly, why did you treat him that way? Kelly, that ain't right. You got to get it out of your life. Are we perfect? No, we're not. We love each other and we love God. Okay? But see, all this stuff that I'm talking about today, it fits for every single situation. In your marriage, in your child rearing. See, we got things that pop up in our kids' life. We don't know how they ended up with that issue. I wish I knew. I've spent lots of lonely, crying nights thinking, why did Carson Paul do that? Why did he say that? I mean, it couldn't be anything to do with me. He's just like me. Why did he react that way? Why has he gotten a green 3 days in a row? Why has he gotten a terrible color? See, this stuff fits. And it says, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, God's going to do what he said he would do. He said, my son is going to be crucified. He's going to rise up in 3 days. Why did he rise? So we could rise. So we didn't have to live in a broken state. So we had eternity with the Savior. That's why he rose. There was no other way. Sometimes there's no other way to get you where you need to go but saying, I'm wrong. People don't like to admit when they're wrong. People don't like to say they're sorry. People don't like to humble themselves. What does God's word say? Is that my people, if they would humble themselves and if they pray more earnestly, I would reach down my hand. And he said a lot of things that he would do. I would heal their land. I'd help them. I'd help them with their kid. I'd help them with their family. I'd help in the church. I would help with the problem that we don't think is ever going to be worked out. Humility. Being kind to folks. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized, they're going to be saved. But whoever does not believe, they're going to be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. See, you're not going to serve Jesus and everything still keep going wrong. Will things happen? Yes, they will. But signs are going to follow the believer. See, there's a covenant that he made when the blood was shed. He doesn't turn his back on his children. Now, Jesus had to feel absolute rejection by the Father when he decided to be crucified. Anybody ever been rejected? Let me ask that again. Anybody ever felt rejection? It hurts. It's not pleasant. Why? Because it makes you feel bad about yourself. Because it makes you feel insecure. Because it makes you feel unworthy. Because it makes you feel like you're not enough. See, he became those things. He became all of that. And he says here, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe, they're going to be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they'll get well. Now let me tell you something. I've been anxious about this service for months. Because it's important for God's Word to go out untainted by anything that I want to add. Because I'm a big mouth. I like to put my little special touch on things. God don't need my special touch on what He wants to say to His kids today. He's got His own. Amen. What you've seen Him do, you will do greater. Amen. You got to pray. You got to pray more earnestly. You got to let go of those grudges. You got to let go of those offenses. You've got to let go of the thing that the devil puts up in your mind and gets you to arguing with yourself, gets you to argue with other people. Sometimes there's things in our life we got to learn how to let them go. There's a hindrance. And you know what God says He'll do with hindrances? He's going to wipe them out. See, Jesus ain't going to be held up by what we think that we know best. He knows best. He's here for you this morning. He's here for you to say, hey, I feel like I'm going to rise up this time. Hey, I feel like I want to get it right. Hey, I feel like I want to stop backsliding. Hey, I feel like I want to stop being offended. Hey, I feel like I'm going to get it right. Sorry, child. I get trampled over. You won't be the same. Getting a little chunky. But you get my point? You got to decide what you want to be lifted off of you. Because see, God's here for you this morning. God's here. He wants to change your life. If you're sick, He wants to heal you. If you're struggling, He wants to make that struggle lighter. If you're depressed and you don't know why, He wants to help you. He wants to come up into that place. We got to stop worrying about what everybody thinks, what everybody's going to say. You'll spend all your time worried about what people are saying, but really, what does it matter? God tells you who you are. God establishes those steps. God orders those steps. He said, hey, I'm going to order your steps. I'll establish every single one of them. Don't get out of line, because when you get out of line, there's some heartbreak there. When you get out of line, there's sorrow there. But hey, if you'll stay in my will, if you'll get yourself connected to me, you're going to feel me. I'm going to build inside of you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to heal you. See, God is here. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm not a big altar call person, because you know what I understand? God can reach down at any point in time and He can meet that need, whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you what. The presence of God is here. If you know that area of your life where God's saying, I'm not happy, I want you to rise up out of that. You know I'm not pleased. I haven't been pleased in a while. You know it. You keep telling yourself you're going to get through it. You keep lying to yourself and you tell yourself that you're justified. If you know that area, you stand up. We're going to pray. If nobody stands up, that doesn't matter to me. I preached my heart out. I preached what God wanted to say. My part's almost done, Brother Andy, because hey, God is God alone. He don't need me, and He certainly don't need me if I won't speak His word. Now God says, hey, these things that you saw me do, you're going to do them greater. Take advantage of the greater. Take advantage of the thing that He wants to pluck out of your life. It's hindering you. Now some of us, we ain't praised God all year long. Some of you ain't been in church all year long. I go, stop meddling. Put your hands up. You're going to feel some Jesus. God all over the place here, right here, right now. God, these people, you know every single one of them. It's being recorded in heaven right now. And God, right now they know that place where they need to rise up. Begin to praise God. Begin to call on His name. God wants to meet you in this place. He wants to come right here. God, I thank You right now for Your undeniable love. Right now, going up into that place. God, we're missing it. God, You've showed it to us. God, I thank You. And God, right now, we give it over to You. We give it to You right now. We're not taking it back. God, we're going to do better. God, we're going to stop justifying. God, we lay every excuse down right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can you help me welcome Pastor back up here?
Wonderful. We have prepared the best meal for you, the best lunch, and the Easter Bunny, I don't know what the deal is, but he gave us 2,000 eggs. So, no, really, 2,000 eggs. And we're going to have something to eat. And these girls...